world. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome John Bolton, former National Security Advisor for the Trump administration, former ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush administration, writing most recently at the Washington Examiner about the attack on Israel, on Jerusalem, drone attack, ballistic missile attack by Iran within these last hours, and what is to be done. Mr. Bolton, a very good evening to you. And the remarks out of Israel are various, but it comes to the word retaliation. And there is a spirit, we're told, and this is a summary, in the cabinet and in the population that we must answer the attack. There will be more. You have written very carefully about what is to be done. First, how did we get here? The attack, you write, is a consequence of not showing adequate deterrence. How so, John?
Well, thanks for having me on again, John. Good evening to you. Look, from the beginning, the Biden administration has failed to see that that Iran is the puppet master here behind the October 7 Hamas attack on Israel, the efforts of the Houthis to close the Red Sea to international commerce, Hezbollah and its constant missile attacks on northern Israel, and the Iraqi Shia militia groups that have been attacking American military and civilian personnel for a long time, but particularly after October the 7th. So if you don't have a strategic sense of who the enemy is and what the battlefield is, you can't respond effectively, and we have not. And in particular, in the past, I'd say 4 to 6 weeks, the constant drumbeat of criticism of Israel by the president, by majority leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, who basically called for a new Israeli election to throw Netanyahu out of office, anonymous administration officials, created the impression, I think, for many people, that there was a deep, deep split between the United States and Israel. What more opportune moment for Iran to test that than by firing well over 300 projectiles, drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles at Israel?
There are remarks in London that this was not expected. Now, those remarks could be honest. They could be caging this. What I found most striking, John, was how the very administrations that previously had been hammering away at Israel for disproportionate force in the Hamas attack of October 7th are now supporting Israel, but then are again talking about, please, not disproportionate force. What is it that they fear about disproportionate retaliation, John? What do they imagine the future consists of?
Well, certainly for the United States and the United Kingdom, which have taken a similar position, unfortunately, after the Saturday attack, I'd just like to find one British or American politician who would stand up and say, after we were attacked, or the UK was attacked by 320-plus projectiles, we shouldn't retaliate. We don't want to escalate the conflict. What Iran did was, from its territory, largely, the terrorist groups participated, but only in nominal amounts. From the territory of Iran, Iran struck targets on, or tried to strike targets on, Israeli territory. It doesn't get any more clear what an act of war that is. If we had, and now the defense is, well, but they didn't kill anybody. And damage was slight, and most of the missiles were shot down. So it's a win. That's President Biden's term. You're still alive. That's a win. Take the win. It would be a signal to Tehran and other rogue states around the world that the United States and Israel are both ready for a sucker punch. There's no politician in a democratic society that really has any concept of national security who doesn't believe that peace comes through strength. It does not come through weakness.
What is to be done? You mentioned air defenses. What would that look like, John?
Well, Israel has a range of targets. It lives in a dangerous neighborhood. Even though the attack on Saturday didn't come from Hezbollah directly in Lebanon, Hezbollah, the terrorist group there, has perhaps over 100,000 missiles that could hit Iran, hit Israel. And if they did in a swarm simultaneously, they would overcome Israel's air defenses. So Israel has to be careful not to fight on too many fronts. But at a minimum, I think striking in Iran against the sites from which the attacks were launched, taking out the air defenses that protect those sites and a few other key locations, going after military bases, if necessary, going after oil infrastructure targets in Iran, to cripple their economy, and at the top end, taking out Iran's nuclear weapons program. Now, Israel's under enormous pressure from the White House. I don't think they'll go to the top end, but I think they'll try and find a very clear and unmistakable way of telling Iran, if you do this again, you'll pay an extraordinarily high price.
Iran is a profoundly broken country, a failed state. We know that the regime in Tehran is not supported by the countryside all around, all the identities that have been persecuted by the regime. Is that a factor, John, in retaliation, that the people of Iran, there are as many who will cheer as those who will fear?
Well, I think that's right, and I think that's important. I think Israel will be very careful in its choice of targets, and I think that the message to the people of Iran, which ought to be sent, is this retaliation is caused by the decisions of your leaders to attack Israel, and the sooner this regime is gone, the sooner the entire region can live in peace.
Now, the puzzle for me, John, is have we stepped into a new kind of warfare? I remember the War of the Cities in the 1980s. I believe that's when Iraq and Iran threw scuds back and forth to each other at Baghdad and at Tehran. That was not followed up by anything in particular. This looks like a different business. The swarms coming in, the drones taking 4 hours to reach Israel. Have we introduced ourselves to a new kind of warfare that we'll see in other regions?
Well, I think a lot of this has been happening already. The Russians, for example, are using Iranian drones against the Ukrainian forces. And I think the risk of this escalating at this point is not substantial. But the way it could come about, the scenario I could see is because of a weak American administration and weak support from the Europeans, unintentionally, the two conflicts could grow together. China could begin to take advantage of our lack of bandwidth by doing something provocative in Asia, and faced with a president who can only think in terms of the November election, which motivates a lot of what he says about the Middle East: fear of higher gasoline prices, fear of losing core Democratic constituencies. The country looks rudderless at the moment.
And nuclear weapons. It is the information that I have that Iran does not possess a miniaturized nuclear warhead. But if such a thing existed, we'd be in a much worse place than we are now. Or are we there already, John?
Well, the risk of terrorists dismantling a nuclear weapon, bringing it into the United States over the Mexican border, for example, and reassembling it in a building, in a basement of a building in a big American city, is real. And nobody should think that that's just a scenario out of a mystery thriller. It's something we should worry about all the time. And Tehran, which is run by a group of medieval religious fanatics, which calls us the Great Satan, as they call Israel the Little Satan, is perfectly capable of doing it.
John Bolton is the former National Security Advisor, former ambassador to the United Nations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,